Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay-by-TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, we'll have Mitch Light coming up at 8 o'clock, editor from The Athletic. We'll get into all things college football with him from 8 to 9. He'll join us in studio, so looking forward to that. So, Joe, we spent a lot of time this offseason talking about the Titans' expectations locally versus expectations maybe league-wide around the country. And it is a wide variety of expectations as you look at people and their viewpoint of the Titans. We still have mock drafts coming out for next year, which is just amazing that the college football season has not even started yet. And they've already started doing a bunch of mock drafts from next year. But I think ESPN came out with one last week, and it had the Titans picking at number 6 overall heading into the draft next year. There are people that think the Titans are going to win 3 games this year heading into and go 3-14. And then you get here locally and it's like, well, can the Titans take down Jacksonville and win the AFC South? So it's a pretty wide variety of opinions on what the Titans could be heading into this year. I do want to, and I was looking at this yesterday, could the Titans be the most underrated team in the AFC heading into this season? Because, you know, obviously Kansas City, Cincinnati, Buffalo, the Jets with Rodgers coming in. Those teams are going to get a lot of attention. Titans don't normally get a ton of attention anyway, just based on, I think, largely the quarterback they have, the style of play that they have. But not very many people league-wide, nationally, think the Titans are going to be very good heading into this year. And I do wonder, could they be maybe the most underrated team heading into this season based on the players that they still have on the defensive side of the ball, the coach that they have in Mike Vrabel, and they do still have Derrick Henry kicking around back there.
I mean, this is a very good topic on WHMR.
It is.
For sure. Yeah, I think that – I mean, I think they are. I'm trying to think of who else in the AFC. I mean, I think maybe the Ravens are, because I actually think the Ravens may be, like, more viable as a contender in this conference than a lot of people do. So that's just my belief on them. And, you know,
I thought about them.
Watch them go 9-8, you know. But I'm trying to think of it. You know, like, okay, a team like the Denver Broncos,
yep.
I think we all think they're going to be crap. Or I don't know if we all do, but, like, they're going to be picked to not make the playoffs after last year. But, you know, Sean Payton is a good coach. Mm-hmm. He is good with quarterbacks. I don't think Russell Wilson has completely forgotten how to play football. So I think they would be a contender in there. Indy Ben, you may have something to say
maybe
here. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
are the Patriots underrated? Or are they properly rated?
Yeah, I don't. Well, first of all, see, as soon as you said this, I'm like, okay, so I need to. Maybe I'm missing something. Like I just mentioned the Colts, but as far as I know, like, some people are still going to pick them to win the division. I don't know. the way things typically go with the Colts, it's like, wow, this is one of the best rosters in football. I don't think – I saw a recent roster ranking, by the way, and I wish I could remember where I saw it, but they had the Titans really low, and they actually had them ahead of the Colts. And I'm like, oh, so now the Colts have a terrible roster? Okay. But also the Titans, I think the Titans, Colts, and Texans were all like in the, I need to figure out who did this. In fact, it might have been, was it The Athletic?
Was it? I think it was Bill Barnwell from ESPN.
Was it Barnwell? Okay.
I think so.
That might be right. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. And it's like, man. And that's where it's like, you know, look, I mean, because of O-line and receiver, I mean, those definitely cost the Titans. But man, up and down the top to bottom of this roster in the 30s or 29 or whatever, that's rough, man.
It's hard for me to get to the logic of, like, people who think the Titans are going to win 3 games this year or that they're going to be that bad when they've got Tannehill at quarterback, Henry at running back, they have that defense that they have. Like, it's really hard for me to get there in the logic part of this. Now, look, I'm not sure that I'm going to pick the Titans to make the playoffs. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. So I'm not saying that the Titans are like some automatic 10 or 11 win team. But like this idea that they're just going to be absolutely terrible this year with some of the pieces that they do have, it's hard for me to get there in terms of the logic that's being applied.
Yeah. So, no, it's and it's Tannehill related to some extent, because I mean, like, you know, some people are like, oh yeah, Will Levis will take over, you know, for Ryan Tannehill this year. I mean, because people disrespect or downgrade Tannehill for sure. But yeah, it is Barnwell, and yeah, so he had what? So he has like the Texans 32, Colts 31, Titans 30. Is that right?
Jeez,
I mean, is it really that bad?
What a division!
What an AFC South hater! Yeah, I mean, that can't be true, right? I mean, the Texans 32 could be true
for sure,
but even the Colts, like, I hate to like complain about the Colts being underrated, because yeah, boy, is that a change! But like 31, it can't be that bad. What about like, you know? What about like the Cardinals?
Like the I know the Panthers just drafted Bryce Young, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. I mean, there aren't a lot of teams that are just absolute trash, I guess. So somebody has to be at the bottom. I mean, like, you know, like, who else is bad? Like, the Atlanta is not very good. I mean, Tampa Bay is a rapidly aging roster. They're going to be a bad team, but some of these teams are going to be bad because of the QB situation.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, that should count. Like, Tannehill should actually count positively for you, but he doesn't.
The Washington Commanders.
Right. Now, they actually do
have some defensive talent.
So, like, Washington, yeah, they're an example of a team that has some decent talent, but the quarterback situation is a problem, you know? So, I suppose you could say, like, a team like that, like, whose roster would you rather have, Washington's or Tennessee's? This year, I would take Tennessee's because I like their running back and quarterback, but people don't seem to want to count that.
Luke on the text line says, also, as much as I hate to say it, the Browns feel pretty underrated. If Deshaun goes back to normal with the top three running back and offensive line, plus a solid defense, I like Stefanski as well. Worst thing going against them is that division is stellar. This is from Luke on the text line.
I thought of them. And yeah.
I have no clue what they're going to be. Absolutely none.
I don't either, but I think that they're probably good for the discussion. I think a lot of people are going to pick them to not make the playoffs. And I think that their roster overall is pretty strong. It's a pretty strong roster. You got a top receiver, top back. You got a lot of talent on defense. It's all about quarterback with them. And you know, coach Stefanski, I think he's on the hot seat this year.
Yep.
I think he goes this year clearly on the hot seat. A couple years ago, I'd agree with you. Last year, I don't know. I mean, how much of that is on him?
That's a good question. I mean, the Browns would be on that. I mean, the AFC East, none of those teams are – like, Miami's not underrated. The Bills certainly aren't underrated. I guess you could make an argument for the Patriots, but they're just a mess at quarterback right now, so – you know, we'll see what happens on that front. The Browns would be the team in the North, unless you want to count the Steelers. I mean, I guess you could count the Steelers in this conversation. Are they being underrated, given the fact that Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season? You know, Kenny Pickett showed some flashes last year, and they do have some pretty good talent on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah,
namely T.J. Watt.
And they're worth talking about, because, again, I think that's also a team that's going to be largely left out of the playoffs. You know, so anybody who's not going to be picked to be in the playoffs, I think, can be in this discussion, and they are in there. I mean, I think that universally, Bills, I think probably Jets, Bills, Jets, Bengals, Ravens, Jags, Chiefs, Chargers are probably going to be like, that's like, to me, that's the playoff field that everyone's picking, and the Dolphins are, I think they're all over but the Dolphins are so much. That's a very good roster too,
yeah,
right? But is their quarterback going to play? Is he, how good is he still?
This is going to be interesting with the Bills, because, I mean, last year you could find some, but by and large, like, the Super Bowl predictions heading into last year, there are a lot of Buffalo Bills picks last year.
I
for
picked
teams.
Them to go undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, you thought they were going to be the greatest team of all time. I mean, I don't think you're going to see that this year. My guess is most of the picks for AFC teams will be either Kansas City coming out of the AFC or Cincinnati coming out of the AFC. Like, I mean, I don't think I would make this argument, because it's not the same discussion that we're having. I think Buffalo might be a little underrated from that standpoint this year, because I don't think there's going to be many people picking them at all.
That's a good point. Like, if Buffalo is no one picks them to go to the Super Bowl, then they have a case too, because I still think that they could go to the Super Bowl. You know, it like they're a really interesting team. You got whatever's going on with Diggs. They are aging in some spots, but you know, that to me, it's all about, like, if Josh Allen has another kind of, you know, up and down disappointing year, I mean, I think you have to just look at Brian Daboll and say, hey, man,
yeah,
that can mean so much to a quarterback. Did so much to get him where he got, and then it hurt so much to lose him.
Kale on the text line says, I think Hopkins affects this conversation. If he joins, I could see the Titans winning 9 to 11 games. This is from Kale on the text line. Well, that's the other part. Like, if Hopkins joins the Titans, are they underrated at that point? Does that capture the attention of people league-wide, or are they still kind of flying under the radar?
I don't think Hopkins joining the Titans changes many votes from Jags to Titans. I could be wrong, but I bet you, I wouldn't expect it. And honestly, like, I think I have the Titans go 9-8. I don't know that they had Hopkins all said, I'm going through the schedule and I'm finding 11, but some people will look at it that way.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Could the Titans be the most underrated team in the AFC? We'll take your thoughts on that. Get to more of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Thomas. Thomas, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
All the hype around DeAndre Hopkins. And don't get me wrong. I mean, as far as receivers in his age class go, he has always been kind of at the top of his game. And he's been at the top of his game with, let's face it, some lackluster talent around him. He always seems to pull a play out of his hat. My whole thought process on it, though, is man, I don't care if you was to have the all-star team all the way around Tannehill. If you can't keep people out of his space, I don't care who we get. I think that's why a lot of the polls or whatever y'all was talking about had them set number 30. I'm really just concerned about giving Tannehill the protection that he needs. If you look all the way through his career, even with great protection, he still struggles sometimes when the pressure gets to him.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's just my thoughts. I don't care what you build around him until you get the offensive line situated to give him the protection he needs. I think it's going to be another long year, fellas.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Yep, thanks for the call, Thomas. Appreciate it. I mean, definitely the offensive line is going to have to be vastly improved from what it was a year ago. Now, look, we've seen quarterbacks around the league overcome bad offensive lines before. I mean, Joe Burrow took an incredibly terrible offensive line to a Super Bowl a couple years ago. Now, the problem is Tannehill's not Joe Burrow. And you don't have Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and those guys. So there's a way you can do it. The Titans right now with their roster are not currently set up to overcome a bad offensive line. Just really hard to do that.
Yeah, and it doesn't. I mean, it still doesn't happen a ton. I mean, look, even Patrick Mahomes, by the end of that season, you know, he got him to the Super Bowl, but then it was almost hard to watch that game because he had no chance, you know. So even a great quarterback like that against a great defense, I mean, he's having to throw while 180 degrees, you know, like he's in the movie The Matrix.
Perpendicular to the ground.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you know, as great as Jalen Hurts was last year, and everything they have was great, but where do you start? You start with the best offensive line probably in the NFL.
Let's go back to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in Jason. Jason, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks, guys. I don't think they're too underrated at this point. I believe all fans of every team that have severe questions at offensive line are very nervous about the start. I believe once we figure out where these guys are as a unit and how they come together, and we get a few games, under our belt, and we can actually throw the eyeball test at them. And if we stay healthy, and that's a big if, with the Tennessee Titans, it seems the last couple of years, I think our defense will be strong enough to hold us, to give that offensive line time to gel and get some experience under their belt as a new unit. So, yeah, I think it's okay to be a little bit skeptical, but we can still also be optimistic, too, and hope for the very best that they'll hold together until we get our guy back who just got suspended for gambling. Thanks, guys.
Yep, thanks for the call, Jason. Appreciate it. I mean, look, I have no problem being skeptical with the Titans. I mean, heck, I'm skeptical with the Titans and what they could be this year. I don't know that they're going to be a playoff team. I don't know that they're going to challenge Jacksonville for the division. I think they can, but I'm skeptical of what we're going to see. The problem that I have is I just got a hard time getting to the Titans are going to be just absolute cheeks like some people think they're going to be, which we've not used that word enough lately on the program.
Yeah. Well, but it's a special word for a special occasion, but I think it actually applies here because, again, when you're talking 30th or 31st or whatever roster in the league and you're talking three wins, people expect into the top of the draft, they're just, again, like we've been talking all day like we do a lot of days about the offense and all the questions, and they are severe, especially, again, with Petit Frere out 6 weeks now. I mean, that's already a big question mark, and now it's really a bigger question mark. But we don't talk about the defense. Like the defense, I don't think, is going to let them be a three-win team.
No, I mean, especially if Harold Landry's back, and that's why yesterday we talked about our biggest question marks on the defensive side of the ball. Like, to me, if he's back and he's healthy and he's effective, it's hard for me to imagine the defense not being pretty good because of Jeffrey Simmons and Arden Key and Danico Autry and the pass rush I think they're going to be able to generate if they have a good version of Harold Landry out there. Like, we saw it when they came together a couple of years ago and they were all healthy. We saw what that pass rush could be. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be that again, but if you got a good pass rush that's consistently getting after the quarterback, you can overcome a lot of things on the defensive side of the ball. And I think the one part I feel really good about Harold Landry in terms of the recovery is he got hurt basically almost a year ago. Like, it's different from Bud Dupree, who got hurt, I think, the previous December and then tried to come back and be the Bud Dupree of old early after camp. I know everybody's body's different. They heal differently. But I feel better about it just from Landry being out almost a full calendar year in terms of his recovery.
Yeah. No, it should definitely be better. Texter Unnamed says, most NFL people rate teams based on quality of offensive line. The Titans will perform according to how the offensive line plays. Bill Parcells taught this years ago. I agree that it's important that Bill Parcells thinks it's important. I don't think people rate teams starting with the quality of the offensive line. I mean,
a lot of times they rate it starting with quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, I think that in a lot of it's sort of like, is your offensive line fine? You know, then, okay, then what's your skill, right? Yeah, you start with quarterback, and I think even offensive skill beyond quarterback. But then some teams have really, really excellent offensive lines, so that, like, again, the Eagles, to me, prime example, scheme, offensive line, skill, it's all elite, right? Yeah. With Hurts playing like that? Like,
yeah.
But, Or you know, really bad offense. And that's where that's the thing with the Titans is it's gotten to that, you know. Despite all their attempts to try to shore it up over the years, they've made bad choices. And they're – because, like, we made the comparison yesterday about, you know, the 2019 season and the transformation. It was amazing. That should tell you how much teams can change in a year and an offensive line. But you still knew going into the season, even though Lawan was suspended, you had – Pro Bowl quality tackles, you had a really good veteran center, and you had a guard coming in who had been really good in L.A. So you kind of – like, you had a lot of proven commodities, and it just took time to come together. The rookie gets better. All of a sudden, it's a great offensive line. I mean, this offensive line is like
– it's not that.
Very, very not proven compared to that one. I mean, it's like the most proven commodity on this offensive line is – who? I mean, I suppose it's I mean, Brunskill has given you, you know, has had
it's either Brunskill or Brewer right now. Yeah. And Brewer's the first time starting center.
I mean, I guess Petit Frere, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, really, that was Brewer's first real, I mean, just like Petit Frere last year, yeah. Right? So they're close. It's very, I mean, you have so many, you know, if this guy proves to be this, questions, and now you miss a guy for 6 weeks. But, like, Dillard is the key to me. If Dillard's good, you know, then immediately you think about last year compared to this year, it gets better.
The interesting part about this, are the Titans underrated heading into the season discussion to me, is I think there's a good argument that they are, and I also think the first six games of the season, they may be staring 2-4 in the face. I mean, and that may be more likely now after the Nicholas Petit Frere stuff. But, I mean, on the road to New Orleans, L.A., Cleveland, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Baltimore is your first six games. You said it yesterday, and I agree. Like, if you could get to 3-3 through that, you'd be ecstatic about that if you're the Titans. So I think there's a chance, like, we could be having a conversation heading into the bye week that they're 2-4 and panic starts to set in, and then you look at the rest of the schedule and it's way more favorable on paper after that. But that's a long way of me saying I think they are underrated heading into the season, and we may not know it for a while based on their schedule.
I mean, even 2-4, they can survive that. They could be 1-5, though.
They could be.
You know, if the offensive line really suffers from Petit Frere not being there, a couple of those teams. Again, we've been talking about the Browns are at Cleveland. What's that? What's that game look like?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I feel good right now today about going to Indy, but you know, what could that look? If it's a divisional game. What could that look like? New Orleans, I think, is a toss up. Yeah. I mean, right now, I don't feel great about the Cincinnati matchup if you're the Titans. It's not gone well the last couple of years. So, I mean, you're right. 2-4 could be on the table. 1-5 could be on the table. If they're anything above 2-4, I mean, if I'm a Titans fan, I'm probably signing up for that right now. 3-3 or above, yep, I'll take it.
This reminds me of that four-game stretch from a couple of years ago where it was like, well, gosh.
Just get 2-2.
Yeah, 2-2 would be amazing, and they just rip through everybody.
Yep. Got 4-0 and look great while doing it. 615.
They lost to the Texans.
They did do that.
Threw four picks.
615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got a lot more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll do that coming up next as well. 1025-1063, the game has the chance for you to win tickets to concerts and sporting events, plus an ultimate staycation that includes Titans tickets, Preds tickets, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to Soundwaves. Black Tie Moving delivers the game summer ticket tour. Stay tuned for more details. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. Nick Kieser back there dying for Toonces the Driving Cat.
Yeah, these guys, you guys have
not heard of this
it.
Before?
You guys are loving it, huh? Toonces. Everyone should know about Toonces. Unfrozen caveman lawyer also. That's the best era of Saturday Night Live, man. Yes, Jared is Toonces because Jared will be having a good argument. You know, good stuff. Yeah, you know, it's not all the salary, always the salary cap. It's cash, blah, blah, blah. And the salary cap is fake. Yeah! Toonces goes off the rails, just goes off the road and explodes.
We got some tickets to give away. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. A pair of tickets to see Erykah Badu at Bridgestone Arena on July 18th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. 1025. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Raymond says, you have to be able to score points to win games. We have a great running back who gets hit in the backfield every time he gets the ball. The worst set of pass catchers in the NFL. They are what the experts say they are. This is from Raymond on the text line.
Focusing on the negative, Raymond. I'm not. Look, they scored 17 a game last year. Awful.
Yep.
I'm not arguing with you on the running back getting hit. He is a great running back. Worst set of pass catcher in the NFL? I think that's...
They're in the conversation.
They're in the conversation. Offensive line, big questions. But again, they also have a defense with a lot of talent and some veterans, some youth. A defense that, you know, led the way for them to be the number one seed 2 years ago, I don't think that's the 30th best roster in the NFL. Yeah, you just said they have a great running back. He is on the team. They have a good quarterback. This is the biggest play. Yeah, he does play. He is on the team. Now, look, if he can't be upright and the pass catchers don't make some big strides, whether Hopkins on this team or not, some big strides and some big health luck, then yeah, it could be bad. But the defense is still part of the roster too.
Yeah, like nobody's arguing that the Titans are underrated from the standpoint of they should be included in conversations with Kansas City and Cincinnati and Buffalo for being a Super Bowl contender in the AFC. It's been really mind-boggling to me. And I guess to some degree I get it. They did lose seven in a row this offseason, and you look at their wide receiver core right now and you're like, geez, who are these guys? So I get it to some degree. But like this idea that they're just going to be absolutely terrible has been mystifying to me this offseason. I mean, there's a lot, if you watch the team play, there's a lot that went into that seven-game losing streak last year, including the quarterback not being available for some of those games. And I just feel like people probably aren't paying enough attention to the actual roster is the actual answer that I have heading into this.
Yeah, and people not paying enough attention to the Titans in general, that's a pretty regular, frequent occurrence.
It is.
Around the NFL.
It is.
And I'm not saying people should be poring over the 17-point-a-game film of this team either, though. Don't get me wrong. But there's going to be – yeah, this is the biggest – difference I've ever seen for sure between like the local opinion of the football team and the league-wide opinion.
I mean, I guess it's been, we've talked to, you know, some people that actually believe the Titans can be competitive in the division, which has been a nice refreshing change of pace. Like, you know, Michael DiRocco was on with a few weeks ago. He doesn't seem to think that there's some gigantic gap between Jacksonville and the Titans. You know, I'm really interested here in a few weeks when we get through prediction season here with The Athletic and ESPN and all these publications, like how many people actually pick the Titans to win more than seven games. I'm really going to be interested to see that. I don't think it's going to be very many.
Yeah, for people who go through and predict records, I don't think it'll be very many. I think if you just go, typically it's like, you know, a lot of these predictions are, you know, who wins the playoff field, who wins the division. I think they'll be very, very lightly. I mean, like right now, I think I've got them. Do I have? I think I have them. Like right on the bubble, you know, they're a bubble playoff team. That's massively overrating them compared to like the
NFL.
Is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there are people that think they have no chance heading into this year. Now, we talk about the schedule a lot. And the interesting part about this is there will probably be somebody that they play in these first six games that we think is going to be pretty good that ends up not being very good at all. And there will be somebody on the back part of this schedule, be that a Carolina or a Seattle or a Tampa Bay or somebody, that we think is not going to be very good heading into the year, and they end up winning 10 games. So,
sure,
the NFL schedule is always a funny thing to look at.
No question. And even if they aren't, like even if the Falcons do go 5-12, they might have just an amazing day in here. Arthur Smith comes in and just rains Desmond Ridder all over the Titans. You know, who knows, man. But, man, you get past that first six, and again, Falcons, Steelers, Bucks, Panthers, Colts, Texans, Seahawks, Texans. I mean, you know, and of course I'm not counting the two Jags games and the game at Miami, but
a lot of wins to be had there.
Right. You can't tell me that this team can't win a bunch of those games I just mentioned.
Josh in Kentucky on the text line, going back to the Willis-Levis conversation, says, all this talk about Willis being better than Levis has got me confused. Isn't he supposed to be at this point? I mean, if he wasn't better than him right now, that would say more about Willis than Levis. This is from Josh in Kentucky on the text line.
Yeah, but look, Will Levis was talked about, first of all, a year ago, Will Levis was being talked about as like QB1. He was certainly expected to be a first-round quarterback. He wasn't, but he was at the top of the second round. You moved up to get him. So, look, there are times when a rookie comes in and it's like, whoa, look at this. I would agree that like where they are is not out of the, you know, out of the range of like reasonable expectations right now. And again, we talked earlier, the idea that Willis, I still need, is it Robert? I still need the link. Like, if Buck or Sam wrote that Willis is way better than Levis right now, because I love making fun of people. So I need that link. I don't think that that was what was written, because no one saw that, because that's not reality. They're close. So, yeah, I mean, basically, I agree with you, except that, you know, there's excitement when you have a quarterback who is this highly regarded, and he came out of a pro-style system, so there was some hope that he'd come right in and you'd see this. Oh, okay, you can see it. I don't think the fact that he looked like a rookie in the spring is a huge red flag. Camp's going to be really interesting.
Camp is different, though. Like, if they get all the way through training camp and Malik Willis is still ahead of Will Levis, and maybe even more specifically than that, maybe if Will Levis just doesn't look very good during training camp, I mean, I don't know if it's a red flag. It's at least a yellow flag in my mind of, all right, well, this guy was a starter the last 2 years in the SEC. You drafted him because of the arm talent that he has and his ability to process things, all those things. You know, we talked about the S2 testing heading in there.
Good S2 score.
Very good S2 score from Will Levis. And he's struggling in camp. Again, it's not the end of the world. We've seen quarterbacks go through training camp. I mean, heck, we've seen quarterbacks go through their first full year and struggle in the NFL. I mean, Josh Allen wasn't very good his first year in the NFL. So
no,
it's not a red flag. It would cause me to raise my eyebrows a little bit if we get through camp and there ends up being some gap between Malik Willis and Will Levis.
Yeah. Well, yeah, look, and the other thing there is, like, in the spring, so three quarterbacks out there, and to me, the gap was Tannehill and the other two, you know?
Correct.
So if
and I don't know that I expect that to change.
Yeah, but you want those guys, whoever's ahead, you want, I mean, really, you want them, again, to push each other, and you want them to get a little closer to him, because you need to have a QB2 that you feel like you could win a game or two with this year, because you sure might have to deal with that given the offensive line.
Yeah. And I mean, at this point, somebody asked me, I think somebody asked us this on the text line last week, would the Titans consider bringing in another veteran quarterback at this point? I don't think so. I mean, right now I think it's Malik Willis and Will Levis, and one of those two guys is going to be the backup.
I mean, I think that was probably a better idea a year ago.
Agreed.
You know, if they were that down on Woodside, and look, he just didn't perform when he had to perform, and then they end up, you know, going with Willis. I mean, that would have been a good time. They, of course, end up going and getting Josh Dobbs, right? And he almost wins them the division. So, but this year, yeah, I think now with those two, it's going to be those.
Well, and again, if you go get the veteran quarterback, you're in the same spot, because Will Levis is going to make the team. So he's going to be on the 53-man roster. Right. So then are you keeping three?
You go get the veteran quarterback, then that means you're done with Malik Willis.
Yeah, exactly. Henry on the text line says, maybe if the Titans will get a kicker, they can grow from 17 to 20 points per game. That's from Henry on the text line.
It's a very important thing.
It is.
It's a huge, huge story about this team.
I mean, I would imagine here in a couple weeks, we're going to be sitting there watching Jim Wyatt chart the field goals throughout each training camp practice. How'd Shudak do today? He was 10 for 12, made one for 52.
Yes, he charts them, and if Jared's out there, he does a good job of running behind the uprights.
He does.
So, teamwork.
Coach Jared?
Yes.
Toonsis.
Coach Toonsis.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, there is a conversation that has started to be generated the last couple of days regarding a former NFL player that is driving me nuts. We're going to get to that in the Rob rant coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
The driving cat, the cat who could drive a car.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rob rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. The Rob rant, the Rex rant, and Nick Keezer's rant to be named later. One day we're going to get Nick to rant on the show. Just got to figure out the name before then.
Yeah. Very level-headed. Very calm. Name not easily punned.
That too.
It's quite a challenge.
It is quite a challenge. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Okay, so Joe, there is a conversation that has started to take place, I think, in some instances because it's mid-July and there's not a lot going on, and others because it's the NFL and it always dominates the news conversation in sports. But Andrew Luck, it's hard to believe, he's been retired for going on 4 years now, and his eligibility to be voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame is quickly approaching. He will be eligible to be voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and there is a debate that is now raging in NFL circles as to whether or not Andrew Luck should be a Hall of Famer. Now, in fairness, most of the conversation that I've seen on this is, no, he's not a Hall of Famer. He's a great player for a little bit of time, but he didn't do enough in the league to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Now, I have seen some try to make the case for Andrew Luck. And look, I have very little doubt that if Andrew Luck played longer and was still playing football, he probably would have had a Hall of Fame career. Yep. I mean, I think we could probably, for the most part, all agree with that. But I think the conversation, and this is just me, of him being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame is a ridiculous conversation. He was a really good player. He played six seasons in the NFL. He missed a season in 2017, so if he would have played then, it would have been seven, but he missed the whole year in 2017. 2018 was the last time we saw him. He showed up to basically training camp in 2019, and that was it. Called it quits in the fall of 2019. You're talking six seasons. I think he made it to the AFC title game one time. 171 touchdown passes, 83 interceptions for Andrew Luck, 23,000 passing yards. Career completion percentage of 60%, so 60.8%. Fine numbers, good numbers. Andrew Luck, if you watched him play, was really good for the Colts. He took some Colts teams that weren't very good, made them relevant, and he was a thorn in the side of Titans fans for sure. I mean, if you based his entire career just based on the games he had against the Titans, he might be a Hall of Famer at that point, because I don't think he ever lost to the Tennessee Titans. But the conversation around Andrew Luck now is basically, did he play long enough to be considered for the Pro Football Hall of Fame? And I just don't think, when you put the totality of his career together, I don't think he did enough in the league to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. I think you're diluting the Hall of Fame if Andrew Luck's a Hall of Famer.
I don't think he is either. I just watched like Colin Coward's making the case, and you know, you talk about hot taking. Colin Coward can hot take with the best of them.
There's a little Toonses in there. Yep.
Now, I do agree with one thing that Coward said, and it's a diluting the other way, which is, you know, you want to put in the compilers of stats who play forever, and then they end up high on these lists, but they weren't great. I mean, Eli Manning is to me a great example of, but it's tough because he rose to the occasion to beat Brady twice in the Super Bowl.
He did.
You know,
including maybe the greatest football team of all time.
Yeah, and so he's going to get in. Or wait, is Eli in?
I don't think he's in yet.
When did he retire?
When did he retire?
That might be about the same time,
Could be.
Interesting thing. Because to me, he's kind of that guy. He was never one of the top, like, three or four QBs in the league.
His last season was 2019. Yep.
You know, but the thing is, I'm sorry. It's like the Terrell Davis, because of the Super Bowls, like, he got in. And I think when you win the ring, it, like it or not, I mean, that is a big difference maker. But I will ask you this on Luck.
Okay.
If you compare Luck as a quarterback, let's take this local. Like, and we've talked about it, but like right now, how would Derrick Henry get in right now if he announces before the season that he's retiring?
Would he get in right now? I think that he would.
Okay.
I think that he would. I'm not convinced, but I think that he would.
That's a similar career duration. No ring.
Right.
No Super Bowl.
But it is a very different position. And it's Derrick Henry was the best player at his position for at least two of those years.
Yeah,
I don't think
that's
the
question with Luck. Like, was Luck the best quarterback in the league at any point?
He was never the best quarterback in the league. Now, he was in the conversation with them, but I mean,
four-time Pro Bowler.
He played in. I mean, Tom Brady was playing. You know, Peyton Manning was playing at the beginning of his career. He was never the best quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that was the Peyton.
Drew Brees was playing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Rodgers.
Rodgers
was playing. So, yeah, but he was definitely like, he was right there, right? He was right there for a few years. You know, NFL Rookie Watch put out this tweet about it, and like, in the first six seasons of the NFL, you're talking third all time in passing TDs, only Marino, Mahomes better.
Yeah, but I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Because it's a totally different league than it used to be.
True. Fourth all time in passing yards. Yeah, I mean, it's if you're comparing it, you know, if you compare it to like Manning, Mahomes, then that's a little bit better. Passing yards per game, that's, you know, 275.2, third. Stafford and Mahomes, only two better. I mean, look, he absolutely would have been a Hall of Famer, but I'm sorry. Like, you forfeited that you retired. Yeah. And I understand looking out for your health or whatever all went into the decision, but yeah, I don't think he's going to get close, really.
I don't either. Well, that's part of what you forfeit when you make that decision. And again, I mean, more power to him. He made the decision that he thought was best for him. And look, for Titans fans here, it was a great decision for them because Colts really haven't been much of a factor, and they've been playing quarterback carousel since he retired. So, but this is part of the conversation. Like, when you do that, you're cutting yourself short on some of these conversations. Like, again, I agree that if he was still playing, he would have been a Hall of Fame player. I mean, he was a really good player. But I just don't think there's enough body of work there. It would be different, too. Like, let's say in 2014, 2015, the Colts go on some runs and they go win the Super Bowl in one of those years. Does that change the opinion on Andrew Luck? Maybe. I mean, it helps his case.
I think there's much more of a discussion if that happens, if he wins it.
Right. But he didn't.
Yeah.
So, he's a really interesting case to me because I don't know if we'll ever see anything quite like him again of guys just at age 29 just saying, yep, that's it. I'm done at the quarterback position.
Who are that good?
Who are that good.
Right.
So, you know, we may never see something quite like it again. I just don't think there's enough there to make him a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Although I'm with you on the compiler thing. Like there are probably some players in the Hall of Fame where I'm just like, okay. You know, were you ever really great or were you around long enough to put up some of those numbers? But having said that, being around long enough is part of it, right? Like,
I mean, Frank Gore to me is a Hall of Famer. He was never the best back in the NFL.
No.
But, like, it's astounding to be able to do what he did and play at that level for that long. That also should be valued. Dennis says, is Bo Jackson the NFL Hall of Fame? You don't get in because of what you could have done. Yeah, Bo Jackson should have his own Hall of Fame, like greatest athlete ever Hall of Fame. But no, he would have been.
David in Arkansas says, if Luck gets in with 6 years in the league, then McNair definitely belongs in the Hall of Fame. I mean.
Yeah, again, you're comparing eras. McNair did one thing Luck didn't do, which is he won an MVP.
He did.
He also got the Super Bowl, which Luck didn't do. So the numbers aren't close, but again, different. Time period also, you know, that system, I mean, Jeff Fisher, even for that time period, like they were not as pass happy as a lot of other teams in the league, even in the era.
Well, the other part of this, like Andrew Luck played six seasons. He missed a full one in 2017. He also only played seven games in 2015. I mean, he played in 86 games in his career. It's not very many games for Andrew. Now, that's not factoring in some playoffs. I mean, let's see how many playoff games. He played in eight playoff games. So you're talking about 94 total games that we saw from Andrew Luck in his career.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
You got to do, yeah. It's just, I think rings have to be part of the discussion. But the Derrick Henry thing is interesting, and it goes to your point of, are you the best for any period of time? And when Derrick Henry's case, the answer is yes.
Right. I mean, Andrew Luck in 2014 threw 40 touchdowns, 16 picks. That's a lot of picks. He did throw 40 touchdowns that year. He had, 4,700 yards passing. So that was probably his best year. 4,700 yards passing, 40 touchdowns, 16 picks. Now, if memory serves me correctly, was that not the year that Peyton also went off
in Denver? For the Broncos?
Yeah.
Wait,
was that,
which
no, that
year?
Was that was 2014. So Peyton went off in 12, I think.
Yeah, because I might say when
Peyton went off in 2013, 55 touchdowns, 10 picks.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Good Lord.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting discussion. It's dominating some NFL conversations right now. I think I would describe it as 95% say no, 5% say yes, on what I've seen in this conversation so far. We have not had one person on the text line say Andrew Luck should be in the Hall of Fame.
Indy Ben.
Indy Ben, now's your chance.
Keep waiting for Indy Ben to weigh in.
Now's your chance.
Come on, Indy Ben.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined for the next hour by Mitch Light from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on all things college football, SEC Media Days coming to our city next week. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee and Vanderbilt and a whole lot more coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.